Hello and welcome to Istos Conversations. Today we have Rorley Grau, the translator of Gabriela Babnik's Dry Season, talking to the poet Stephen Watts, who edited the book for Istos Books, about the book, the translation process, and the idiosyncrasies of the narrator.
Okay. Do you want to start, Stephen?
Well, yes, I think there are two areas, things that I particularly want to pursue in conversation. One is the matter of dialect and the whole complicated business of choices to do with translating dialect. But also secondly, and maybe to begin with that, is sort of layering in the novel, the sort of sometimes dream essence where you're not quite sure whether the author is saying something or not saying something. Mm-hmm. And also the use of memory, because a lot of the novel is in the present tense of the two main characters talking to each other, quite a lot of the novel is those two characters, those two figures individually, narrating out of memory from their past lives. And it's that I particularly want to ask you about as a translator, as a close reader, therefore, of the original text and the bringer of that text into English.
Sure.
How you negotiated some of those
things. I think the first thing that needs to be said is that the novel is constructed in two voices, in two distinct voices. One is an elderly 62-year-old
yes.
Slovene
yep.
woman who is an artist, a fabric designer and dress designer, and makes interior designs, decorations as well. And the other is a 27-year-old African man who grew up essentially on the streets of Ouagadougou
in Burkina Faso.
So you have these two very distinct voices and two very distinct stories that are interwoven in the novel. This raises the question automatically of language, because they
yes.
are, they themselves, they enter into a relationship, they become lovers, but not immediately. And this relationship is based on their communication in not only sexually, but also through words, and they speak French to each other. So you have a novel that's written in Slovene, where the characters are speaking French in the but the French is conveyed by standard Slovene. Mm. At the same time, each of these characters, Anna and the Slovene woman, and Ismail, the Burkinabi man, are writing their own stories about that relationship that they've just entered or are in the process of entering, and their own past.
Yes.
And they're telling about how they came to be the people that they are, essentially. What you learn fairly early in the novel, so I'm not giving any secrets away, is that Anna, in writing her story, actually has an awareness of herself as a writer, as someone who is writing a novel. In fact, in the very first paragraphs of the novel, she says she's wondering whether this is how novels should begin. So you have that self-awareness as a writer. It's not as clear with Ismail, although eventually we find out that he too has decided to write a novel,
yes.
that he has written things in the past,
yes.
he's tried writing novels in the past, and that now he is writing a novel that is dedicated to Anna. And we learn this toward the end of the novel.
Mm.
So we have these two people who have not been professional novelists or writers, but who are trying to become writers,
mm.
which adds this layer of self-consciousness about the writing on both sides, which is interesting. And for the translator, I had to be aware of that. I had to be aware that this was not just their spontaneous voices, that they were thinking about the words they were choosing. And the third aspect of this is the novel as it's being created by the author of the novel, who in fact has woven their stories together almost, what I saw almost as in a symphonic way, where you would have themes and even individual words and expressions from the from Anna's story, which would then reappear in a completely different context in Ismail's story. So as a translator, I tried to be aware of that, and I tried to make that clear in the English as well, to reflect the kind of interweaving that was going on in the slogan. And on top of this, you have the issue of the actual language that they're using, that they're writing in, and the play between the standard French that they speak with each other. And there are scenes where you have characters who are speaking in a pidgin French, presumably in the Slovene version. This is conveyed by using an established Slovene dialect for the Ljubljana dialect. The Slovene reader will instantly pick up that this is not a standard language, that this is a dialect which is less respected, though it's widespread and well known. As the translator, you have to then decide, how do I convey this dialect? And this was one of the things that
we talked about,
and actually I left till the very end to do, because I knew it would take some thought and I didn't want to do it off the cuff, essentially. So there were different choices. One was I could pick a dialect that I was familiar with, such as the African-American vernacular English, but I thought that would be strange to have these characters speaking in the language of, say, I'm from an American from the city of Baltimore, say, speaking as from the Baltimore ghetto, you know, that kind of language. The other possibility would be to create something, to sort of play with English, or just to, in a way, corrupt the standard English a little bit. And that was one of I almost settled on that. And then I realized they were speaking, this was a pidgin French that the author, Gabriel, is trying to convey through the Ljubljana dialect. So perhaps if I could find an African pidgin English to use. And fortunately, there's a wonderful novel, Souls of Boy, which is mentioned in Gabriela's novel, by Ken Saro-Wiwa. And it is, as the subtitle of that novel says, a novel in rotten English. I looked at that novel and tried to base the speech that is in Dry Season a bit on the speech that is essentially a Nigerian pidgin English. Nigeria is next to Burkina Faso, though Burkina Faso, they would be speaking of a pidgin French.
It's my instinct, like yours, when you emailed me about possible choices, and you said you weren't going to go for what might be considered an appropriate American dialect is the wrong word there, actually, but I felt absolutely that's correct. Incidentally, there's I hadn't thought about it before, there's a noticeable absence of America in the book, completely, so it would have been a strange choice if you'd made that. But we were both a little bit uneasy about, until you came up with the sense of going towards Souza Boy, of how to adequately answer that question. Because, and again, if we think back to Gabriella's choice, because she had a difficult choice. If she wanted to somehow indicate a different register of speaking, and there are many different registers of speech, as of memory, throughout the book, how would she do it? Because Florine isn't spoken in West Africa, unless by Gabriella and one or two other people who happen to be there. Whereas French and English have much longer and very political colonial
Slovenia
traditions.
Slovenia never had an empire.
Exactly, so there wasn't that political weight. Actually, this brings me on to another thing, because the novel is quite politically acute.
Yes.
And again, I think that's a layer that would have been very interesting as a translator to have considered how to bring some of the details and really quite specific and what's the word I'm looking for, insightful details that Gabrielle put into the book. Mm-hmm. Or did that come fairly naturally?
Well, the passages, the parts in the book that deal with the history of Burkinabe history, the Thomas Sankara and his assassination,
yes.
The regime that followed of Blaise Compaoré and the assassination of Norbert Zongo. For me, as a translator, when I translate something, I want to understand what is being talked about, and I want to understand the context. So it involved then having to do a bit of research on my own just to make sure that I knew what the novel was talking about. Yeah. But in terms of affecting the translation, I basically translated the Slovene as best I could. There wasn't. There was one point where, for some reason, the names in the Slovene text were spelled differently than they would be in English.
Mm-hmm.
So I just made sure I was using the correct spellings for the names.
Yeah.
That didn't present what I would consider a translation problem, other than the general rule that, for me, is that when you translate a text, the cardinal rule, the first rule, is that you need to understand the text.
Do you want to talk more about the dialect?
Could. I mean, the question, of course, which I still have, because the book hasn't been out, hasn't been reviewed, is what the reaction of, say, British Nigerians is going to be about this, or people who are very deeply involved with Africa, whether they're going to sense anything. Because the last thing that I want is for the dialect to come off as being in any way a caricature or in any way suggesting that the people who are speaking that are not intelligent or not worthy of our interest or attention. One point that might be added is one of the characters, the most prominent character in the book who uses the dialect is Ismail's friend Malik, who is also in a way his cousin, though not literally his cousin.
He's also, in some ways, his other side.
Very much so. The sort of the dark side. Yeah. In fact, he's called Ismail's vile shadow at one point.
Yeah.
So Anna refers to Malik as Ismail's vile shadow. But the interesting thing is Malik is the son of a man named Baba, who's been a very important influence on Ismail, a man that Ismail deeply respects, and that Anna comes to respect as well when she meets him.
Baba's quite a strong presence in the book.
And he's quite a strong presence in the book. And the other character that is also in Ismail's story that's still a presence in the book is a woman whose name we actually never learn, but who's simply referred to as Auntie or the Aunt, if Anna's referring to her. These two characters, who are both Burkinabes, speak in the Slovene version, they speak in what is the standard Slovene language. And this I had a question for Gabriela.
Yeah.
Why do these two characters speak in a standard Slovene? Ismail, when he's speaking with Anna, speaks in a standard Slovene. When he's speaking with Malik, he's speaking in this dialect.
Yeah.
And yet Malik is always speaking in the dialect, and yet Malik is the son of Baba and would not Malik have learned the standard French, say, and be using that. And then it occurred to me that, and she said, well, you know, that's just the way he is. He wants to be part of this other world. And in fact, as I thought about it more, I realized that Malik has serious issues with Baba, with his father. There's a kind of, he's rejected Baba's life in a way, and he's resentful of Baba, which comes out also later in the novel. That relationship is more, more prominent in a way. But so Malik's use of the dialect is in fact a choice. He could have learned the standard, but he chose not to learn the standard French, or he chose not to use it. And so that adds a certain psychological layer when you think about the use of the dialect in the novel. Mm-hmm.
I suppose one other thing I want to say...
Oh, the other thing I might add, since we're talking about language, is... and this comes up very early, and it's actually a small point once you decide how you're going to deal with it. It's simple, it seems simple, but it has to do with the question of trusting the reader, I think, and trusting the reader's intelligence. Mm-hmm. And at a certain point, very early in the novel, the issue is raised as to what, as we know, in French you can speak with someone using the formal language or the formal address or the informal address. And this comes up very early in the novel, and in the Slovene, Anna says, basically, I was using, and she uses the verb tikati, mm-hmm. I was using the tikati, which means to use the T form with him, but he was using vikati with me.
Yeah.
And so the question was, how do I translate that? Mm-hmm. Because first, Anna is not... there is no tikati or vikati. They're not speaking Slovene, so those words, you know, don't apply. And the question was, in some cases, when I've had to deal with that as a translator of those things, you might say he was using the formal address with me, and I was using the informal address with him. But that somehow seemed a bit awkward, a bit too stilted. So I just said he used. He used vous with me, and I used tu with him. And there were a couple places. There was one place I even thought, and I had talked to Gabrielle, and she said, sure, go ahead and do it. I later decided not to, when they are talking, and they haven't made love yet, but they've started talking about sexual parts in the novel. And Anna says something like, you know, we're already making love. And Mazik and Ismail says, you mean with the language? I thought, well, in the Slovene, as in French, the word for language is the same word as tongue. And which, of course, brings it back to the body in a very strong way. And I was very tempted to say something like, to add a sort of a French phrase, avec la langue, but I decided not to, because it would be the only place where I was putting their words in French. Though in the Slovene version, there is no French. They're doing this in Slovene, but it would work in French as well, but not in English. I mean, to say, you mean with our tongue, wouldn't. So that was another issue about that.
Yeah.
But. And the other thing I asked about Gabriela is, why does Anna speak when she... There's a couple of places where she either is talking, remembering conversations she had with her father, or she's actually in the present tense of the novel, speaks with her father on the telephone. And it was interesting that whereas Malik is using the Ljubljana dialect, Anna, who herself is from Ljubljana, would be, and one would expect she would be speaking with her father in the Ljubljana dialect,
mm-hmm.
because it really is just a dialect of people who live in Ljubljana. It's not an indicator of class.
And she doesn't do that.
She doesn't do that. No. You know, they're speaking in standard Slovene.
Okay, thank you very much for talking with us today, Stephen Watts and Rawley Grau. Thank you. Okay.